Hello, good morning. Thank you so much for joining me. This is the Creatives Chronicles. This is the podcast that tells the stories of creatives, documenting their journey and giving you the information to get started, stay focused, and thrive as a creative professional. Today on this episode, we have an amazing business coach in the house. He's an online business coach, a speaker, and the best-selling author of The Diamond in Your Closet. He's a book publishing consultant, and he's also a trained medical doctor. Joining us today is the founder and CEO of Income and Impact Academy, Dr. Charles Emmanuel. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Wow, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Okay, one of the first things we used to do is to go over our journeys, but you're a business coach.
Okay.
Today we are going to talk about client attraction and attracting clients that you want as a creative professional.
Awesome.
What one thing have you done in recent time that has returned very well for you on client attraction? What one thing has helped you in your business to attract the kind of clients you want?
Awesome. Thank you so much for that question. You know, a client attraction is actually the simpler part of the matter, because if you can attract them, then there's no business for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I found out that the strategy that has worked the most for me when it comes to client attraction is upping the quality of my freebie. The bigger or the better the quality of what I give out for free, the better the kind of clients that I have attracted.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, in the beginning, I used to feel like if you gave out everything for free, or if you gave out good stuff for free, what are you going to sell?
Hmm.
You know, so because I am into information selling, as it were, I help people sell information practically. You know, okay. So sometimes we try to hurt the best stuff.
And then
promise them the best when they buy. Hmm. But you see, the principle is help people first.
Okay.
Hmm. You know, help them up front. It's like an investment. You are showing them up. Because the truth is, if someone is considering hiring you or working with you, it's a great honor, because, frankly speaking, there are quite a number of other options they have out there.
Yeah.
So the only way to prove that you are the person who is qualified for their check or qualified to have them pull out their credit cards is to ensure that you are giving them something that is valuable for free, preferably what others are selling.
Hmm. Okay.
So when they get that value up front, everything going down the line becomes a ride in the park.
Wow. Amazing, sir. There is something that most business experts, they used to talk about. They would say, building your KLT, your know, like, and trust. It's like how clients get to hear about you, how they know you, because it's said and it's an established fact that before people buy from you, they have to trust you.
That's right.
Okay, now for creative professionals like designers, programmers, computer programmers,
yeah,
how would you suggest that they build these relationships with clients?
Okay, that's pretty simple. That's pretty simple, honestly. It's the know, like, and trust factor is an extension of what you do when it comes to proving that you know what you are offering and that you are the best person to help them do this. If you help people upfront, if your freebies, your free content, your trainings, or whatever it is put out there is of great quality, automatically you gain people's attention.
Hmm.
All right. Now, but as a designer or a creative person, you've got to create a system by which you consistently put out some tips or some strategies that can help people with their businesses.
Okay.
For example, one of my clients is a designer, but then he teaches people on the psychology of colors.
Wow.
Just an example. He helps them understand what colors mean to people and how colors can impact on their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
that it shows them that if you're attracting a female audience, you should use certain colors that appeal to women better than some other colors.
Yeah.
So when you post this out there, automatically, when the clients now need to design something for their audience, they think it's the right guy to talk to.
Yeah.
Because it's through his content that he puts out, he's been able to help them see that he knows what he's talking about when it comes to designs.
Amazing.
Yeah. So oftentimes I tell people, create a system by which you teach people, and when you teach them, let your teaching be logical.
Okay.
Make sure that you're telling them, you're helping them to understand what they should know. Start out by designing a syllabus or a content strategy, for example, and you want to over a period of time show people there are things that people should know, there are things that people could know, but then there are things that are a must know. You get? Now, the must know is the most important piece of information. That's what the other people are hiding. So when you're giving them for free what others are hiding, they automatically gravitate towards you.
Wow.
That's the way it works.
Amazing. Thank you. Okay. There is this factor called creating personas and client personas. Usually it's said that for you to even get clients, that not everyone is your client, not everyone is your customer.
That's right.
So how would you suggest that creatives narrow down who their ideal clients are? Because if you ask me as a creative person, I'll tell you that my ideal clients is the oil companies, the Fortune 500 companies. That's how I would tell you are my ideal clients. Or thriving entrepreneurs that really need to communicate their brand values. How would you suggest that creative professionals segment and create personas that really defines their clients so that they are really clear about who their ideal clients are?
Awesome. That's a great question. You know, the first thing I like to ask is, who do you want to be a hero to? Who do you want to be a champion to? Which group of people will you be excited to help move their business or whatever they are doing to the next level? The answer is, it can be everybody.
Yeah.
We all have groups of people that we are somewhat attracted to. We have groups of people that we have a passion for. For example, when my wife thinks about women, she doesn't just look at women as just gender women for generally. She's looking at women and she's concerned about how she can help the married ones and the ones who are not just married but married to pastors and celebrities. Now, women is a big group.
Yeah.
Married women is another big group. But when you now narrow down to those who are married to pastors, you're getting more clear.
Yeah.
It's because not all married women are married to pastors. So the same way, you need to know what kind of people do you want to help. And a good way to actually define that is, which group do you fit into the most?
Okay.
You see that? For example, I know a pastor who is also a designer.
Okay, wow.
All right. So he focuses now on creating graphics for churches.
Wow. Okay.
You see? So which group do you belong in that you can easily mix with? Because another very important thing is, if people can see you as one of them, they can connect with you better.
Definitely.
An accountant can come and say that he wants to help doctors create work-life balance. But if a medical doctor is helping doctors create work-life balance, he gains more authority.
Yeah.
You see that? So which group of people do you think that you can fit into very easily? Now, that's assuming that you're working as an individual, all right? Now, if you want to work as a company, if you want to build a brand, build a company, and then your company does the working, again, you need to consider what kind of companies you want to work with. Okay, that's, you want to create an agency, for example.
Okay,
if you're doing an agency, what kind of companies, what kind of people do you want to work with? And quite frankly, there's nothing wrong with going for the oil companies, but heck, you need some level of stability to go for the oil companies.
Yeah, definitely.
You need to have a lot of infrastructure in place.
Yeah.
So my advice is, start from where you are. Which group would listen to you now? You can go for the upcomings in 3 years, but which group would listen to you now? Which group would be more inclined to taking up your solution now? Begin from there, and you can make progress as time goes on. But if you're just starting or you haven't gained a lot of traction, find a group that best defines you. That's a perfect way to go. If you want to do the creative designs, you can say, okay, you want to do creative designs for entrepreneurs or for startups. But again, make sure that you can easily connect with that group.
Wow.
To get to the advantage.
Wow. Amazing. Okay, there's this question I have. Coming up with pitches, like sales pitch, elevator pitch, like you go for a meeting or you meet someone and you're asked, what do you do? How do you advise creative professionals to craft their sales pitch or elevator pitch or their mission statement?
Awesome. There are 1,001 ways to do that out there, but I always tell people to focus on answering 3 questions.
Okay.
Now, the first question is who you are. Okay. And that starts with I am a dash.
Okay.
The next question is the solution you bring to the table or who you solve it for.
Okay.
So you can have something like I help entrepreneurs or I help startups or I help, but the more narrow, the better.
Okay.
All right. And then the next thing you want to do is to define the problem you solve and the transformation you offer. Because it's one thing to solve a problem, it's another thing to define the transformation. Here's how it works. Here's how it works. A solution solves a problem. But a transformation is the after effect of the solved problem.
Yeah.
It's more like a secondary benefit. You get it? And if you're able to sell that secondary benefit, which is the future that your client is hoping for, if you can include that future in your pitch, it becomes more compelling. Because people like it when they can see the future from where they are.
Yeah. Everyone loves it.
You get it?
Yeah.
So it becomes more emotional. For example, when I work with authors, I say, okay, I'm a book publishing consultant. Okay, and then who do I help? I help first-time authors. Now that's different from saying I help authors. There are several authors, but not all of them are first-timers. So I help first-time authors. Now what's the problem I'm helping them solve? Well, I help them go from no idea, because I know that one of the major problems of first-time authors is that they don't know where to start from. So I help them go from no idea to a published book. That's the solution I'm bringing. You get that? Most first-time authors, I know that their future is that they want to make a difference. They want to change lives with their messages. All right? So the concluding part of my pitch to them is so that they can make the difference they earnestly want to make. So in one 30-second message, I have told them who I am. I have told them who I help. I've told them what I have them do, and I've told them the result they will get. Forget it. So I am a dash. I help dash know, learn, get, understand, depending on what you're doing, dash, so that they can dash.
Wow. Amazing, sir. Okay. You talked about content strategies and creating syllabus for releasing content and putting yourself out there. Okay, what are some hacks or some tools that have helped you or you think can help creatives in creating those strategies and those systems?
Awesome. The first thing I'd like to ask is, what are the problems my ideal clients have?
Okay.
So I'm going to list out all the problems we have. And I may not know all of them, so I will need to get out there, ask questions, interview real human beings, and get real human answers. Many times we assume a lot.
Yeah.
We think that things are the way they are, but in reality they are not. they are not. So it's always great to go out and ask people. But another pitfall is when you're asking people, don't just ask anybody because you want to ask questions. Ask people who fit into the description of those you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you can be asking a single lady what it feels like to be a busy mom. She doesn't know.
Yeah.
Even if she tells you, she will tell you from some either an observation or from an assumption point of view.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that can happen is to build a business around an assumption. You see, you need facts. You need to prove the concept. So go out there, ask people for questions and problems that they have around the subject of your concern. Now, if you have, say, you're able to gather 10 questions, just for example, you were able to gather 10 questions, you've already gotten 10 areas to cover. Depending on how broad the questions are or how broad the solution to those questions will be, you might need to cover each of them in like 2, 3, or even 4 different pieces of content. And going by the standard or the assumed standard of offering at least one piece of content a week, that means that you might be already having at least 30 weeks of content.
Okay. Wow.
Just by asking questions. Another strategy is FAQs. What are people always asking questions for around these subjects? That frequently asked questions. Again, if you have 10 of them, you have at least 10 pieces of content. Then there's another dimension when we talk about SAQs.
Okay.
SAQs are should ask questions.
Wow.
They are not frequently asked questions, but they are questions that people should ask. You get it?
Yeah.
So,
for example,
if you're creative, you know some questions that people are not asking, but they should be asking. So, and in fact, the SAQs are the faster ways to even give the expert status. Because you're helping people see what they should have seen that they didn't see.
Yeah.
And then they quickly think, if this guy could figure this out, he's got to be smart. He's got to know what he's talking about. You know? So, ask questions. What are people struggling with in your area? Find out what are the frequently asked questions in that area, and then what are the should ask questions? What should people be asking? What are they overlooking? What are most people not seeing? You know, you point all that out, and you have a full year's content set out.
It's
so simple, honestly. You have a full year's content set out, and then you deliver the content. When you're delivering your content, it's good to deliver content strategically.
Okay.
Now, a good strategy is to teach the what and sell the how.
Okay.
Teach the what and sell the how.
So
you tell people what should be, what they should do. Now, but when they now want to, trust me, if you tell 100 people what they should do, 90 will still need you to show them how to do it. Very few people have the discipline to produce results from knowing what.
Definitely.
If you can tell them what it is, they already feel like you know something, you're an expert already on the subject, and then they go on and say, okay, well, how do we go about it? It is when it gets to the how that you can begin to create your product. That's why I like to tell people create products around how, not just around what. Because what can easily be found on Google by a simple search, but the how is not that easy. So you can tell a company, you should have a logo, or you should have 3 versions of your logo. Why? Because you might need to use different backgrounds. Your logo might need to appear on different backgrounds at different times. So if it's on a white background, this might look better, but if it's on a black background, this will not work. So you should have like 2 or 3 versions of that logo. Now you're telling them the what. If that person now needs 3 versions of a logo and they need someone to help them with it, they'll come to you. say, okay, I have this logo, I have one logo, I don't even have a logo, and I want to create multiple versions of this logo. How can you help me with this? Your website designer, you can tell them, okay, you need to have a website. And then you explain the benefit of having one. This is 2018. If you're a brick and mortar business, you have a website, you're out of market.
Yeah.
See, most people, in fact, recent research proved that people who visit churches. Now, I like to use church example here.
Okay.
People who visit churches for the first time, 70% of them don't go to the church before they came.
Wow.
Now, if the church was not available online, they wouldn't have had those newcomers. And I bet you the strategy is virtually the same with
businesses, entrepreneurs.
Because most people will just say, well, let's see, I want to design a website, and I don't want to just go to someone online. I like to see if I can have someone around my neighborhood.
Yeah.
So we can meet once in a while, and then they search online, they can't find any. I recently visited Abuja, and I just thought of playing around. I said, okay, let me get to a gym. And I get on Google and trying to find out if there's any gym close to me, and there was none.
Wow.
Now, I know that there are some. I know there are some, but they were just not online.
Yeah. Okay.
So I forgot about them.
Wow. Amazing stuff. I really appreciate this valuable content you are sharing with us today. Okay.
Thank you.
What's your perspective on consistency and frequency? Like, how often do you think, like, for instance, your content strategy is to create a blog post and do some social media posts. What would you advise, or what's your perspective on consistency or frequency? How often should a post be made? How often should content be put out?
Okay, now this actually will depend on the market you are serving.
Okay.
But one can say that generally speaking, once a week is fair enough for you to put out new content. And then, aside from once a week, you can email your subscribers. That you can do a little more frequently. You can do up to 3 times a week. Some people swear by it once every day, but it's up to you. For example, if you're serving new moms, you know that new moms, the last thing they have time for is to waste time online.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you,
These
people are sleepy, right? They are tired, they have too many things going on at the same time. So if they ever decide to listen to you, it's not going to be as frequent as undergraduate would. So targeting that kind of a market, you should know that you shouldn't plan for everyday content. You should also know that your content should not be 60 minutes long videos. You get it. Because you don't have the time. If you're targeting CEOs of multinationals and you are planning a 45-minute webinar, you're a joker. You don't have the time.
You
don't have the time. So you need to figure out what works best for your ideal audience in terms of how much time they can devote to listening to or consuming your content at once, and how frequent they can create that time. And quite frankly, people would appreciate you more for giving them solution in shorter times than if it took a long time to give the same solution. People think that the longer your content is, the more valuable it is. It's not true. It's not true. It is how fast can you give solution? That's what matters the most. Those who understand the value of their time will pay more for solution gotten in shorter time than for longer ones. I once bought a course, and I was excited to dive into the course.
Okay.
You know, and it was $297 at the time.
Okay.
And I couldn't wait to dive in. I was ready. I had cleared my calendar. I'm going to just enjoy myself for the next 1 to 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then I get to the program, and it has only 5 videos.
Okay.
Now, not only does it have only 5 videos, the average length of the video was 11 minutes.
Give me my money.
And guess what? Guess what? I was not willing to collect my money.
Okay.
Because in 11 minutes every day for 5 days, this guy helped me create a year's worth of plan.
Wow. Wow. That is phenomenal.
That's that. Now, and another person will do the same thing and give you 40 videos and then tell you, you know, you need 3 months to study it. One of the things I consider to consume any content is length.
Okay.
I don't have that time to burn just listening to fluff. So go straight to the point and help people fix their problems ASAP. Wow. They will appreciate you more.
Amazing. Okay, what one thing do you know now that if you had known when you started business earlier, it would have changed the whole lot for you, looking back?
If I had known, I would have very quickly resigned from the University of Freebies. Okay. I would have kicked myself out of that school long enough. Long enough. I wasted much money because I would not pay to get guidance. I wasted money at the time. Not less than 3 years and nothing close. At the very least, I wasted over $3,500.
Wow.
Because I wouldn't get help from those who have gone the route I was planning to go.
Wow. This is phenomenal, boss. Okay. During some of our sessions last year, when we were talking, you said something amazing. You said that not most of the clients we want, not all of them are online. It's our job to bring them online. Okay. What are some of your advice for creatives on how they can go out and meet clients, places they could go to, how they should they write proposals to people? Should they go for entrepreneurship meetings and networking events? What are some of the things you think creatives can do?
Awesome. But for starters, I would say first, define clearly who you want to reach.
Okay.
Define clearly who you want to, so that's going to determine a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because the strategies, the decisions, and so on will all be determined by who you have decided to reach. And that's why I tell people who are just starting now that the first thing to do is not to create a product. Many times people are eager to sell. So they just go out there, create a product, and they can't wait to start selling. The amount of things that need to get clear before you start selling. So define who you want to reach. Now, based on your definition of who you want to reach, the next question you need to find out is, where will these people hang out, online and offline? Where do they hang out, online and offline? Do your diligent studies, research, and find out where they hang out. When you know where they hang out, then locate yourself in the middle of where they hang out. You know, so if it is online and they are in groups online, be in the group. All right. If it is online and they are in some kind of forums or communities online, be there.
Wow.
You get it? Now, if it is offline and they belong in some associations, you better find yourself in that association. A way to be who they are. Sometimes it's good to then when people talk about client attraction, the whole idea of client attraction is that you do something to make people come to you.
Okay.
Now that is nice. But I consider that as the bonus. To me, I consider that as the bonus.
Okay.
All right. People coming to you is the bonus. You can't build your business on people coming to you.
Okay.
But you can take the initiative and go to them.
All right.
Now, there's a difference.
But yeah.
Of course, when you're going to them, you have to do it politely, you have to do it professionally. All right. But stop waiting for people to come. You make the move. Go to them. Show them what you can offer. Show them how you can help. My biggest deals so far, they didn't come from me sitting.
Wow.
The first $10,000 client I got because I was just in a group and I decided to talk about what I could do to help the head of the organization.
Wow.
It was talking about publishing at the time. I said, well, that's what I know how to do best. It didn't come to me. You see that? And then 2 months later, the guy gives a testimonial, a video testimonial, saying that he has never worked with anyone like me and my wife.
Wow.
And he's been working, he's been, as a matter of fact, at the time I started working with him, he had published close to 100 books.
Whoa, wow.
You see that? But I brought him, that didn't have talked to me, he couldn't have looked for me. But I went out, I was in the right place, and I presented myself. So sometimes the biggest opportunities are the ones you take with both hands. If there's an association, a group, a party, a get together, some kind of meeting out there, go there and settle things. Especially if you work with a Nigerian audience, you've got to understand that the real money in Nigeria is offline, not online yet.
Yeah, very offline.
In fact, most Nigerians at the moment are even scared of using their bank cards to make a purchase of 30,000 naira.
Yeah.
True. They are not that inclined yet. If you want to reach people within Nigerian client, you better be able to reach them outside. You know? Because they need a lot of, for Nigerians, they live by seeing is believing.
Yeah.
You get so find out who you want to reach. Find out where they exist, where they hang out, then go out and meet them. For example, if you're going to their offices, there's nothing wrong with going to their office. Okay. All right? I have a 7-step system for reaching out to people for the first time.
Okay.
Now, the first thing you want to do is do not make a mistake of pitching to somebody for the first time you're meeting. That is a killer.
Okay.
Don't make that mistake.
Okay.
The first thing you want to do is to introduce yourself, but make it more about the person than about yourself.
Okay.
For example, I come and say that I'm a website designer and I was looking at your website and I was impressed by the work that you're doing there. It's a great website you have going on. I just thought I should let you know.
Wow.
Now, I have introduced myself, but I didn't say anything about me. I made it more about you. I was appreciating what you are doing.
Now,
I wait for a response from the person, and only after the person responds, right, we move on to phase two.
Okay.
You see that? So you don't come up as spam. You get it? Even the big boys in the industry, they like it when people, praise them. When people commend them. So begin by looking for something commendable that you are doing and appreciate it for it. Be sincere about it. People can tell when you're joking.
Sincerely
appreciate them for what they have done. Let them know that they are making a difference and you are noticing the difference they are making and you're excited about it.
Wow.
Believe in that. Then until the relationship begins to look like, okay, we are now going back and forth, start thinking of a problem they have you can solve. From the very beginning, your eyes are already on the problem they have you can solve.
From the
very beginning.
Yeah.
I have done free work for people that is valued thousands of dollars before they got to say yes to it. Because sometimes that's the only way you can get their attention. That's only way you can get their attention. So find what problem they have,
that you can help them solve. And when you're looking at solving a problem, there are different levels of problems.
Okay.
So you can pick up 5% of the problem and give them a solution for the 5%. You get, or you or you look at a 10% angle of, look at a 10% angle of it, and pick out a solution for that 10% angle. But then it gives them value upfront. Give them value upfront. You don't just meet somebody for the first time and the next day you're bringing them a proposal for what? For what?
Yeah.
But if I'm giving him value upfront, by the time you're making a proposal, it's an expected proposal as a matter of fact.
Wow. Okay. That's cool. Wonderful. Amazing. Okay, there's a segment we usually do on the Creatives Chronicles and it's called Demystifying the Myths. Okay. Demystifying the Myths. So we pick any myths in the industry. Since you are a business coach, what is one myth people used to assume or think about clients, but it's wrong?
I mean, see which of them to pull up here. Okay, I think the one that comes to mind is the fact that you need a very large audience to make make reasonable money online. And that is so far from the truth.
Wow.
So far from, you don't need a very large audience to make any reasonable money. People have made with 200 people, or made from 200, from an audience of 200, what people with 10,000 struggle to make.
Wow.
So the key thing is, while you're working on building a large audience, which is of course part of the benefit of having a large audience is just social proof, really.
So
while you're working on that, do not berate yourself because you don't have a large audience yet. You can build a sustainable business with the ones that you already have if you build the business around a system that is proven to work.
There's something, there's a question someone asked me recently. He was talking about that he's just starting out and he has not got plenty experience under him. And he was asking for pointers and all. So he was like, he cannot charge a certain amount of money because he doesn't have proof, or he has not built his portfolio. And what I told him then was that when you base your project or what you want to charge based on what you've done, you might be wrong because you have not done every kind of work that is out there to do. Like, say you're a website designer, you might have not built a school portal or an e-commerce site, for instance. But that doesn't mean you can't do that. What would you say to such a person that is like doubting his abilities or afraid, scared to charge a certain amount because he's thinking he's not he hasn't got that experience yet? Yes, it's not worth it.
Okay, that's great. Now you've got to understand that there are different factors that determine pricing. Okay, and experience you have is not even as important as you think. One thing you want to consider is, what is the value of the problem you can solve?
Yeah.
Because the truth is, people aren't necessarily paying you for your experience. They are paying you for the solution you can bring them.
Definitely.
You understand? So if you are bringing them a solution that is valued at 10,000 naira, for example, and then you say, because you don't have experience, you want to offer the solution for 2,000. Guess what? Smart thinking people would look for the next available person.
Definitely, yeah, sure, yeah.
Because there is this psychological thinking that the fact that it is 2,000 when it is actually worth 10,000 means it is substandard.
Yeah.
So first, what is the value of what you are offering? when I work with people about determining their pricing, I ask them to tell me what the price they want to charge is. Then when they tell me the price, I say double the price.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because oftentimes people naturally undervalue themselves.
Yes.
It's normal.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's normal. So when you tell me what you want to charge, I say double the price. When you double the price, I now see how we can create a product that actually has the value of the double price.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's about the value. It's about the value. For example, one of the things I do is help people turn their thoughts into books.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, because of the personal involvement, how much of my time is involved with this, I don't do it for average clients. It's an high-end product.
Yeah.
All right. But again, the people I am dealing with in that aspect, they understand the value of having their books without lifting a finger.
Yeah.
This is not regular ghostwriting. I sit in their offices or we get together online. They simply heard their views. They tell me exactly what their dream of a book is. I turn the dream into reality in their words. See that? Now, I know what that is worth. And I will be mistaken to charge less than what it is worth for the kind of people I am dealing with.
Yeah.
We just know that it's not going to just put some words together and call it a book. Let's be for someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
You see that? But when you make value clear, when you make the value crystal clear, because it's all about the value, if people understand what pain they would lose for getting your product, price becomes secondary.
Yeah.
Price becomes secondary. The most important thing is the value that your product is going to offer. Once that value is clear enough, forget it. Every other thing will fall in place.
Man.
So you might be new, but go out there and make sure that you can solve your real problem.
Yeah, definitely.
Be bold to charge what that real problem is worth.
Phenomenal. It's been an amazing episode. I really, really appreciate your time. I know you're a really busy person. I really appreciate you for spending this time and moments with us here on the Creatives Chronicles. It's been amazing. Okay, on a final note, what will be your closing words for creatives? Before that, how could our listeners get in touch with you? What are the best means they could get in touch with you?
Okay, one of the best ways to reach me is by email, actually. And that's on charles@uchecharlesemmanuel.com. charles@uchecharlesemmanuel.com. Now, on the other hand, you can reach me on my website, uchecharlesemmanuel.com, or on Facebook, Charles Emmanuel.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Appearance on my end.
Okay, yeah, I can hear you now.
Awesome. So on Facebook, you can reach me at Charles Emmanuel 2. Okay. Username is Charles Emmanuel 2.
All right.
Any of these would be fine.
Okay, great. So your closing words for our audience, recommendations or books you want them to go and read or blogs, any recommendations for our creatives and creative professionals?
Okay. To wrap it up, I'll say that if you're a creative person, it's a great job you're doing. Because quite frankly, not everybody has the ability to turn an idea into something substantial.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you do as a creative, and I think that you deserve to get paid for it. I'll say go build a system that enables you to consistently have a flow of clients.
Yeah.
And of course, you should remember that there are quite a number of levels you get before you get to client level. First, people need to hear about you. All right.
Yeah.
Now that's one audience, just those who hear about you, and that's what they call traffic.
That's what they call traffic online.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Get as many new people as possible to hear about you.
Okay.
All right. And it should be consistent. It should be consistent at making sure people are hearing about you.
Secondly,
set up a system that enables a portion of those who hear about you to lift their hands up and say, I want more. Now that's what we can now call a lead.
Okay.
So the first group of people would be just traffic. Random people listening and getting to see. Then the next group is your lead. Those who are not, who are taking a step. They have done something other than just listening. They are taking a step to identify that they want more of what you have to offer.
Yeah.
And the third group of people where everybody focuses on is the clients. Those who have now spent money with you. The more traffic you get, or the more people you get to hear about you, and the more people you convert to leads, the more customers you stand to make. You see, so if you consistently build these three groups of people, you will have a sustainable business.
Wow. Amazing. I really appreciate you for your time here today. I do not take this for granted.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do you have any suggestions of a guest you would want me to have on this show, or someone you think?
Okay, at the moment, none comes to mind, but if anyone does, I will definitely let you know.
All right, boss. All right. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It's been an amazing time. I've really had an awesome time. Plenty, loads of values got in today. I appreciate. Thank you, sir.
You're most welcome. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me around.
All right. Have a lovely day.
You too.
Bye. To our listeners out there, it's been an amazing conversation. I trust you've picked a lot of values from today's episode. Looking forward to subsequent episode for values to get, and I'll see you next week. Be great, be awesome, keep creating. That's the only way you get better. Have a lovely weekend. Thank you.